Welcome to the Sharp 600, brought to you by Covers.com. I'm Rob Cressy, and I'm super excited to be jamming with you. And joining me to get you ready for college basketball tournament action is sports betting consultant Sean Lockhart. You can follow him on Twitter at TheRealPapaBear. Sean, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me back on, Rob. It's the best time of the year, March Madness. You can't ask for better weather, and you can't ask for better action on the television.
And speaking of action, we will hopefully have a lot of...
Shake! Crossover! Step back! And deposit!
Gus Gasms. I just love Gus Johnson when he gets into college basketball because this is part of it. The announcers are there. We've got the sports betting. We've got the margin of victory or defeat being sometimes half-court shots or three-pointers that are just... This is my favorite time of the year. But first, we had two seismic news stories break in the last 24 hours that I have to comment on briefly before we get to tournament action. Number one, Russell Wilson being traded to the Denver Broncos. My initial reaction, I want to fade the Broncos. So I looked at the odds right now on DraftKings. Broncos are plus 200 to win the AFC West, Chiefs plus 120, Chargers plus 400, Raiders plus 1,000. So literally immediately, the Broncos become the number two team in the AFC West. And looking at this in the whole AFC picture, the Broncos are currently sitting at plus 700, third best in the AFC. And I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, I feel like this is shiny object syndrome because... Are we ready to crown the Broncos? Like, I know this has been the narrative for so long. Oh, the Broncos, if they only get a quarterback. Yet somehow here they are with a brand new head coach and a brand new quarterback, and I'm ready to crown them versus these teams that have been playing together for years. I'm not buying it.
No, I like your line of thought there. It does seem to be an overreaction. That Justin Herbert and the Chargers price looks a little tempting to me, but man, they gave up a haul in that trade as well. A lot of talent. They traded Von Miller to the Rams last season. Their defense is still elite, but man, it's hard to look at them already as above the Chargers. I'm not sure. I'm not ready for that yet.
Exactly. That plus 400 stood out to me because you're one Patrick Mahomes injury from saying, wait a second, we got a 4-1 ticket on arguably the 1B quarterback. Like, is Russell Wilson the best quarterback? No. Is he the second best quarterback? I don't think so. He might be the third best quarterback in that division.
It's good for my Arizona Cardinals, though. I want to get him out of the division. I didn't mind the trade. The Seahawks are they're definitely going to benefit from it, but that's not for a couple years down the road. So I didn't mind it.
Second major story that happened, Calvin Ridley suspended for 1 year for betting $1,500 on NFL football. And here's the thing that stood out to me. Number one, he's betting parlays, 3, 5, and 8 teamers. Calvin Ridley, my man, you not listening to the podcast. And then number two, he also bet on the Atlanta Falcons, a team that went 6-10-1 against the spread last year. I get the narrative of players betting on sports. Throw that to the side. When it comes to being an informed sports bettor, someone get this podcast in Calvin Ridley's hands.
It is striking. The league is making an example out of him, right? They almost have to because it is the first case where, you know, they're in bed with all these gambling companies, as they should be. But, man, for betting $1,500 and now losing $11 million in salary, that has to be one of the ultimate bad beats. I understand the punishment, but it does seem a little extreme. I don't think he was fixing matches or anything. But, hey, here we are, gambling in 2022.
And speaking of gambling in 2022, it is time for conference tournament action. And we recently had Bill Krakenberger on the podcast, and there's one thing that he said that stuck out to me that really helped shape my mindset. I want to get your perspective on where you come from. He says he likes to buy on key numbers of 2, 3, 5, and 7. And traditionally, when he's on dogs, he's looking for numbers that are 7 and below. Boom, immediately since then, when I'm looking at the board, I'm now looking at 7 and below. I'm looking to see what's it. 2-3, 5-7, or a half point one way or another to buy a point there. From your standpoint, how do you look at shaping up how you're going to be betting teams? Because a lot of us are going to be betting a lot more the next month, and college basketball isn't something that everybody's been doing on a day-by-day basis.
I like what Bill was mentioning there. There are key numbers in basketball, just as there are key numbers in football. Not so much in basketball, but you just mentioned those numbers. And it is when it's a one-possession game, a two-possession game, teams that are fouling when they're up three. There's all kinds of things that go into these late-game scenarios where you do want to have the best number. One tip I will give when betting conference tournaments that I've used for many years, and I think it's still very valid, these teams are often playing each other for the third time in the year. I like to look at backing unders. I do first half unders, full game unders. I like to go unders. I think generally the public wants to bet an over, as most people do. But when you're playing a team for a third time, you have tape on that team. You've already guarded the same guy you're guarding. You know his strengths, where he wants to go late in the shot clock to get a shot off. It's just a lot. And they also sometimes let him play a little more physical in these conference tournaments. Man, I love getting up early and hammering conference tournament unders. It doesn't sound fun, but I'm already 1-0. I hit that Boston College Pittsburgh ACC first half under this morning. So got to keep it going.
I love this because another nugget was, hey, betting first halves is a little bit more of a true line than full game because you're seeing the fouling late. I'm curious, when you're betting these totals, it can be challenging. We're used to in football the key numbers, but what does that look like in college? Because you have teams that can pace it slow. We're looking at the Virginias of the world all the way up to teams that are bombing threes, so we can see polar ends of the spectrum. So how can you know if there's value one way or another on a number?
So totals, it is a bit trickier. And as you mentioned, there are these nightmare late game scenarios where you just get unlucky. I mean, right when that window's like seven, a team's up by, they might be fouling for two straight minutes because they go down, they make a three, pull back to six, foul, keep, instead of like that gap going to double digits where they give up and the game ends. I will say, when you're backing totals, there's steam, right? And often during the regular season, a total gets steamed down, a total gets steamed up. You can make some money maybe piggybacking or following those moves in March in the conference tournaments, and definitely March Madness. Following steam is not a good approach. I would almost fade market moves because these lines are so sharp when they open. If it moves a full 2 points, I might be more inclined to back original odds makers at that original number. Just that's all I would say. Just don't follow steam when betting totals late in March.
With that, would it make sense then to wait until closer to tip off before you're going to be taking the action if it happens that you're going against the steam?
If you are going against the steam, correct. Exactly. Personally, for my preference for betting unders, I bet them early in the morning, right? Sometimes the books take a little bit to get them up. I don't bet overnight lines, but I bet them early in the morning because I kind of just trust my read. But yes, if the market's moving against you, wait till tip-off and get the best number you can.
Okay, well, traditionally with unders, we know by design the public wants to root for overs. So even as we saw, I know the Super Bowl is an outlier, but you would always wait if you're going to place the under because we think that the line is going to be moving up. So with a lot more public action coming in the next month, you say you're doing this in the morning. Is that more just a principle for you, or how can we look at what the market is doing? Should that be an indicator for us one way or another? Or, hey, let's not overcomplicate it. Take the under, lock yourself in, and that just is what it is.
Yeah, because I'm backing more of my opinions. I'm not really watching the market. In the regular season, I might look at that, especially some of these smaller conferences. But right now, I've watched so much college basketball this season. That's all I've been betting. I'm trusting my read. And I haven't had the best college basketball season, but I've been super hot lately. And all it takes is one good run to have a profitable season. I'm hoping that happens. I do have an under tomorrow. My own Arizona State Sun Devils, they're playing the Pac-12 tournament, an early game versus Stanford. Third time they're playing them. It's a low total, 128.5. That's an under I'm going to be playing. I'm going to be backing it tomorrow morning, definitely. Both these teams struggle to score. Just going to trust my read. It's also in a neutral venue. That's what I love about it, too. These teams, they're not playing in Stanford. They're not playing at Arizona State where they're familiar. They're playing on a neutral venue, different backside, different lines of sight, different weird time. They're playing at noon. It's just all these things spell that they might come out a little rusty. I just back unders in conference tournaments. I love doing it. It's what I've always done.
Speaking of your Pac-12, Arizona looking at minus 120 to win the conference, UCLA plus 160, and then there's a massive gap to whoever's going to be next, which is pretty much everybody else. You live in Arizona. Is it Arizona or nothing?
It pains me, Rob. It pains me to say my arch rival Arizona. They are probably one of the most legit programs or teams that they put out in quite a while due to this new coach and just the talent they have. They're the favorite for a reason. UCLA could maybe get them. My Sun Devils are peaking. They've won 6 of 7, but I don't think they have the talent to do it. And then they just, U of A just trounced USC, which was another team, I think, physically that can compete with them. But, yeah, I think you're spot on. It's an Arizona or nothing bet when it comes to Pac-12.
Is there any shiny object syndrome on UCLA from the run they did last year? They still have many of the pieces there, so everyone's like, oh, we know what is possible for UCLA, but do have a little bit of injuries there, and I don't know if this year has exactly been the ideal version of how coming off of last year's tournament run, looking back at what they've done so far this year, I won't say this is the best version of what we could have expected.
No, I'm right there. It's a good that you noticed that. And it is. People, another good example is Oregon State this year. Oregon State, right, they made that crazy run last year. They had one of the worst teams in Division I basketball this year. They had an awful year. And they were, I think they were 0 and they maybe covered 10% of their games through the first week because people were still betting them because they're Oregon State. Oh, I remember them. And it's the same thing, yes, with UCLA. I do think UCLA, they could be a Sweet 16 team. They have the talent, but I don't see them making another Final Four. And I think that Arizona team is head and shoulders above everybody else. And then Oregon, actually, I just saw the news break. They lost one of their 14, double-digit score. One of their leading scorers is out for the whole tournament. So that's another team I might be looking to sell on here come early March.
When looking at betting dogs versus favorites, I think traditionally we would like to think that the air quotes, sharps like to be getting the points. They like to be on the underdogs because you need the other team to do something. So you're already winning right when the game starts. How do you think about this in the conference tournament action, dogs versus favorites?
In conference tournament, not as much because I do think the conference tournament gives you the last chance you have to bet against some of these really, really bad teams, right? They have one game left before they get knocked out and their season is over. When it comes to the March tournament, all those teams are solid, good teams. They are playing to win a title. They're all very good. So then I would be likely more inclined to maybe bet a dog because there are some awful dogs that are going to be playing in these conference tournaments. So I would not be scared to lay it with the favorite, lay it to the team that's trying to peak heading into the big tournament. But it's preference, really. But I would say conference tournament, I'd be more inclined to bet favorites. When it comes to the actual March Madness tournament, yeah, I definitely probably back a little more dogs.
One of the things that I've been doing to prepare myself for conference tournaments in March Madness is looking at KenPom rankings versus top 25 rankings versus the odds that I'm seeing on the various sports books. And there was one team that stood out to me. Houston, KenPom ranked them 5th. Right now, they're ranked 18th in the top 25, and they're plus 4,000 to win the title on DraftKings. And I'm not saying they're going to win the title, but I was just looking there to say, where is this a discrepancy in the difference between 5th in KenPom and 18th in the top 25? That's massive. Do you have any thoughts on a team like Houston or how you use the KenPom rankings versus the odds versus the top 25?
I use KenPom all the time during the regular season. I think towards the end of the season, the edge kind of wears off a bit. I kind of disagree. I know mathematics, they love that Houston team. I think they lost way too much talent from last season. I bet against them in their last game when Memphis came out and beat them by about 20. I'm just not a big believer in Kelvin Sampson's team this year. I would not bet. They can't free throws, and they play in the weak conference. They would be a team I'd be looking to sell on, in all honesty.
Okay, when looking at the futures market, we obviously see there's two teams at the top, Gonzaga and Arizona, but then there's the also-rans, the next tier below that. And for me, when looking at the futures market, this is what got me the most interested. So we're sitting here, Gonzaga plus 350 to win the title, Arizona plus 650, Kentucky plus 700, but now we started to get into the larger numbers, Baylor plus 1200, Auburn plus 1200. Those two teams stood out to me the most of, if I'm going going to be betting a favorite from a futures perspective. I think I'm going to be looking towards the plus 1200 and above, not the Gonzaga, Arizona, Kentucky, where our odds aren't as good. What are your thoughts?
I like where you're going with that too. And another team I would throw in there is maybe Duke. And I know they are coming off the big loss against UNC. Everyone saw it with Coach K's last game. It was very televised. However, this is a very, very talented team. Probably 3 to 4 NBA guys on that roster. If they get hot, they can make a run. I know they're favored to win the ACC tourney. That's another one. Minus 120, minus 130, where usually I would look to do a long shot. But I think the ACC is so down, it's going to be an easy path. And then their seed's only going to climb in March Madness. They'll get a better seed. And that's a team that might get hot. And I think they're, 18-1, 19-1? They're pretty up there. That's another team I like to throw in there.
On the flip side of Duke is North Carolina. Are you buying them coming off of this? Going into the Duke game, they were on the bubble. Not sure if they're in. All of a sudden, they beat Duke. They're sitting there plus 600, second best odds in the ACC. Albeit the ACC is down this year, so it doesn't have as much credibility. Are you buying a hot team? Because the Kemba Walkers of the world, those UConn teams, we've seen the teams that go on these massive runs, but we're also playing a blue blood, and we're also paying a blue blood tax with recency bias.
Yeah, I think there is some recency bias there. They can't defend. Their defensive metrics are so bad, and that's the only reason I don't see them making a long run. I like them against Duke. I bet them against Duke in that last game because they had to sit. Duke went there and thrashed them by 20 plus points. They had to sit on that. You're playing your rival. You knew that game was going to be close. I had no idea how that North Carolina was plus 11.5, ended up winning outright. But I like your original train of thought. I wouldn't buy right now, or I don't think they're going to make a run. I'm not a big UNC buyer.
As we wrap this up, are there any teams you want us to look out for or sell? I love your example of, hey, first half in full game unders for teams playing for the third time. Any other nuggets you want to help leave us with to help us be more informed bettors in the conference tournament?
I'll leave you with one more. It's a wild shot, but if it hits, we could celebrate it. There's a 60-1 bet in a conference tournament, Nevada, Steve Alford's team, in a conference. I think it's a very open tournament. I don't think there's a dominant. San Diego State is very good, but I don't think they're as dominant as previous San Diego State teams. 60-1, Nevada to win that tournament. Steve Alford's team's feisty. Just keep that in the back of your head if you want to maybe take a long shot or something.
Sean, love jamming with you. Super excited for conference tournament action. Where can everybody connect?
I'm on Twitter at TheRealPapaBear, DareLPapaBear. Open the chat, sports betting anytime. It's the best time of the year, Rob. I cannot wait to get into these conference tournaments.
And boy, is there a lot going on in the world of sports betting. One, are you buying the Denver Broncos as the third best team in the AFC? Number two, what is your conference tournament betting looking like? Definitely hit me up on Instagram or Twitter at Rob Cressy. Let me know how you're getting down. Also, make sure to tag at Covers. And remember, if you want to be sharp, don't be a square with your bankroll. Be disciplined with your money management. The broken down the devil hit you with the rap level of 10. The 1, 2, 3, your pen. I get action. So everybody jump with your rope. If you like the way the sound pump, pump it in your black trunk. And let loose with the juice when I do rock. I'm too hot. Some say I got more juice than Tupac.